This afternoon, I have a subject I'd like for us to take a look at. I've been thinking about fences, boundaries, and we probably all read the stories years ago when the old covered wagons and everything you've got, you're traveling together, heading out to the west to get you some free land, and maybe the cattle that you have, there's no fences. Can you imagine what all this country would have been to travel in then if it had been fenced like it is now? You wouldn't get very far till you run into another fence. But back then, it was wide open country. And I thought about the difference it made for them to be able to keep the things contained that were valuable to them. Night comes on, somebody's got to stay up and stay around there to watch the cattle, because there's no containment, there's no fencing there for them. And the cattle had no restraints. There's even people after they settled, you know, they might have a little area by the house that they had put a little corral or something to keep them. But then talk about in the daytime of turning them loose, and then the children, now it's your turn to go out and try to find them and round them up to bring them back in. When there was no restraints. And I'm thinking about in our lives, boundaries and fences that we build in our lives. Every person, I thought about this, every person has some boundaries. It doesn't matter what person. Everybody has some limits that I'll not go past. Now, they may not be moral issues at all. It may not be that they set a moral boundary. There was recently, and I watched a little film clip of it. There was a man, he said, I'm going to walk a tightrope. Now, you know, that's no big deal if the tightrope was just hung between something and it's 2 foot off the ground. But as it gets to be in a more dangerous area, then it's more fearful for people. You know, we've seen before where they'd take a tightrope and run it across the Niagara Falls. And this person is walking it, and that's really something. Well, this man, he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to run this cable between two office buildings. And it was like 300 foot off the ground. And as if that's not enough, these office buildings are at different levels. So I'm going to have to walk it at like a 10 to 15 degree angle, walk up that angle doing it. And he's going to do it at nighttime. And, you know, it's amazing how many people come out, I want to see this thing. It's kind of gruesome even to think about. But he starts out and he has that, they have this camera now that you can put on your head to where it's filming everything. And it would show his foot walking this cable. And he's got that balancing beam that he's got. And so he just, and you can see the street below. It looks like it's a mile away. You could barely even hear the people down there cheering for him. And he takes it a step at a time. And you can see he's looking down. You can see his foot settle over that cable. And he takes another step. Plus, he's going uphill. So he's got to get some grip to keep on going. And then when you see him step off on the office building, you thought, oh, he made it. But that wasn't enough for him. I guess he wanted to have his name in fame. What boundaries would he set for his life? He said, okay, I walked it. Now I will go back and I'll walk it again blindfolded. Now he has nothing but the feel of his foot to find the cable again. He doesn't know if he's halfway across, if he just started, or where he is. And you could see them blindfolding. And they've got to put his feet on the cable and steady him to start out. And then he starts out and he puts one foot there and another foot there, and he doesn't have a clue where he is on that. And, you know, it just made it so much more exciting to the people to be able to see that. Well, I have some boundaries in my life about that. I'm scared of heights. I can't even climb a fire tower. So when he does that, I say, you know what? I've got some boundaries. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't do that. And that's my boundary, is because I'm scared of heights. Well, Guinness Book of Records. You ever look in that Guinness Book of Records of what people set as boundaries in their life? What they're willing to do to be able to get their name in the Guinness Book of Records? That I was the first one to ever do this. They, in fact, they had to recently start saying, we're going to have to set our own boundaries on this because people will do anything to get their name put in there. One of them, he ground a bicycle, a complete bicycle, ground it to shreds and ate it just to show that I am the first one that ever ate a bicycle. And just time after time, those things happen. Here's the level that they set their boundaries for. There have been people that in the past, and I've seen the pictures of it, would let themselves be put in a barrel and it go over the Niagara Falls because I want to be able to prove, if I survive it, I want to prove that I could do it. Well, I was looking at boundaries. Jesus, on that one, not about Niagara Falls, but he had that temptation given to him to do something very daring, and he said he had some boundaries. You remember what those boundaries were? Let's take a look at it. In the fourth chapter of Matthew, in the fifth verse, the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now Jesus had some boundaries that he set in his life. What did he use for a boundary? Did he say, there is no way, I'm scared of heights? Nuh-uh. He had the word of God that even though the devil himself had said, hey, I got a verse that I'm using for you to do this, Jesus went back and picked up another verse. That's what I'd like for us to think about this evening. What do I use to set boundaries for my life? What Jesus used was the word of God. Seventh verse, Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus used the word of God to set parameters in his life, to set fences around him, to set boundaries. And some people, the boundaries that they set and what they use for it would be, what is the chance that if I did it, I would get caught? Now, if the risk is high that I'd get caught, that's a pretty good chance I'd get caught. Maybe I'd say, nope, my boundary is not going to be there. I'm not going to do that. Some people would say, I would do it, but the chance is pretty great that somebody would see me, that I don't want to see me if I did it. You know, we need to have some better boundaries in our life than that. I would do it, but if they saw me, what would they think if they saw it? You know, Jesus set some parameters in his life. He set some boundaries in his life, and he used the word of God to be able to build those. I was thinking about in my life, boundaries were set when I was young. They weren't set by me. They were set by mom and dad. Mom and dad said, while you live at home, here's the things you can do, and here's the things you cannot do. Well, what they had really hoped for was that by setting those rules in my life, that by the time I come to the place where now it's my choices, it's my time now to set my own parameters, I'm out on my own, that I would have chosen by then, these are values that I want to be able to have. These are parameters that I want to be able to have in my own life. Today I'm thankful that they set fences in my life. Because, you know, at that young age, if they had just turned me loose and said, go do what you want to do, what would I've ended up being? But instead, they set, and parents are not real popular to be doing that. But you got to realize, just like the ones that have animals, that I want to keep them. I want to protect them. And it seems like these fences are keeping them in. There was an example that has stood with me. We went out to Pacoima, and I believe it was maybe this last year. They have, for the nursing home there that's right next to the chapel, they have a little chicken pen there. And they have chickens and special kinds of chickens and all. And the residents, when it's a nice enough day, they'll go out there and set chairs there and watch them. Well, one day we saw that somehow one of them got out. The chicken got out and all the rest of them are inside. And I mean, they're looking out, and that little chicken was really showing out how much he loved being out. he could go where he wanted to. He could get bugs, and there wasn't a bug in the chicken pen. They had all eaten them already, and it was just dry dirt. And he was just going around. He could walk through the grass. He could find bugs. He had really made it. He had no parameters in his life anymore. And it was like he was just feeling it. I am free. Well, there's a reason that a fence was put around them. More than just, I'm going to keep them in, I'm going to keep some other things out. Yeah. And so in my mind, I could think those chickens inside are saying, oh, I wish we were free. Well, the next morning, I got up early to go to early morning prayer meeting, and I walked by the chicken pen, and all those other chickens are still inside there. And I think, well, I wonder where that other one is that had all of his freedom. And I walked on toward the chapel, and I looked on a little bit past that chicken pen, and there was a big pile of feathers. You know, he had cut loose of his boundaries. He had no parameters. But there was a reason he was in the pen. He was being protected from the elements that were all around him, and he did not know it. He thought, you know what? I am free now. There is nothing going to bind me now. Except when darkness came, even in the city, there's something that got him and killed him. And I think about for us, we're in a day and time now where the devil will say, these are boundaries in your life. They are keeping you bound up. You know what those things are doing is they're protecting us from the elements that's all around us. I was thinking about some in the Bible that put parameters in their life at a time when they could have chosen not to. I thought about Joseph. You know what? Joseph was no longer at home. He wasn't like me at home and mom and dad saying, this is what you're going to do. He's gone now. He doesn't know if he'll ever see dad again. And yet he builds into his life parameters that I will not cross this area. Yes. One of those, and a very important one for him, was when he was tempted with Potiphar's wife. You know what? He didn't say, well, my boundaries are, dad may be coming through here next week, and if he found out about that, he would not be happy. Uh-uh. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He used his parameters to be, it's between me and God that I'm building these fences in my life, these boundaries that are for my life. Thought about another one. The three Hebrew children, they're captives. They're slaves. They're no longer around anybody that worshiped the way they did before. So what would it matter? Who would see if I bowed down to save my life? But you know what? They're looking back. They have already built some boundaries, some parameters in their life that they won't cross. And it's got to be the same with you and I. We have got to build a boundary, something bigger than what would people think if they saw me? Or some others that are no deeper than that. I've got to have it that, you know what? This is between me and God. I can be in Germany and you don't even know what's going on. Or you could be in a town where there's nobody around. But you know what? If we'll have the convictions that Joseph had, that the three Hebrew children had, this thing is between me and God. Where the three Hebrew children, they didn't even mention to him, you know what? The folks back home would be really disappointed if they heard that I bowed down to this golden image. They didn't say that. It was between them and God. And them realizing this God that we're trusting, by putting these parameters in our life, he's able to protect and save us. And even went a little farther than that, should he not, should I die from this? I built these parameters around to where I still, you know, they could have said, okay, let's put this pack together. We're going all the way to the door of the furnace. But if that door opens up, we're probably going to be going in and we're going to deny it and back out then. It was already settled. But be it known unto thee, O King, we're not going to serve your gods. I was thinking in today's time, each of us need to have those kind of parameters in our life. What about Daniel? He's also a slave. He's not around the people that he worshiped with before, and yet he still continues to kneel and pray toward Jerusalem, opening up his shutters every day. And when he hears what's been said, here's the law that's been passed, and he still opens up his shutters and prays just like he had never heard that before. He had built some boundaries in his life. He had built some parameters, some fences for his protection. This is why I do what I do. it won't be enough for us to say, but down at 23rd Street, they teach this. It won't be enough for us to tell other people, this is why I do it. The people that I worship with say, you should do this. You know what? We're going to have something deeper. We're going to have some boundaries built in our life that backs up to the Word of God. And Jesus himself, on those temptations that came to him, that's what he used, was the Word says, even when the devil came to him with a scripture, the scripture says you can do this. And Jesus knew the scripture well enough to say, yes, but it's also written that will offset you taking one scripture and taking off with it and going in the wrong direction. Jesus said, it's also written. So it's going to be real important in the parameters that I'm building for my life that it be the Word of God that builds those fences for my life. Eve, she had a fence put around her, a boundary for her life. And it was, out of all these trees, you can freely eat. But here's the fence. Don't eat of this one. And if you do, here's the consequences. And I thought about that with Eve. Don't touch it, lest you die. And I've often wondered, how long was it from the day that he said that to the day that she fell? Did days pass? Did years pass? How long was she able to hold out before she heard another voice say, but you would be able to do it? I'm thinking about us today. Boundaries. When I bought my house, and anybody here that bought a house, when you look at your legal description, it is exact. Yes. It'll tell you from this point, you can measure your land to be 100.38 feet. Exactly. This is your boundary. And what it was done for, you think of all the people in this world. We've got to have some parameters. We've got to have some guidelines. It's got to be that when I buy this land, I don't say, but I want this over here. And it's close to mine, so I want it too. King Ahab, needed some boundaries in his life. He had a great garden himself, but he happened to look next door at Naboth's vineyard. And he said, you know what? He could picture it in his mind. This land right here would make me a beautiful place to put some herbs in. I'd like to grow something and I need more land. I think about that. Ahab needed some boundaries in his life. You know what? Those boundaries had already been given if Ahab had only looked at them. On Mount Sinai, God gave the Ten Commandments. And when Moses brought them down, and you remember Moses got upset with the people, threw them down and broke them, and God didn't say, oh, well, you know, they weren't real important anyhow. No, we're going to write them all over again because it's going to be real important. And I was looking at that. Borders for acceptable conduct when there's millions of people trying to dwell together on earth. Most of those are about how I deal with you. 6 out of 10 tells me boundaries, fences for me to put in my life that I don't cross that because you have your own space too. Those would have been real important for King Ahab. Can you think about what was the first commandment that Ahab crossed over? He tore that fence down and it took him into another area. Can somebody tell me, out of the Ten Commandments, what would have been the first commandment, the commandment that he crossed, the first one? Was it wrong that he looked over there and he said, wow, that's some nice land. We can do the same thing and there'd be nothing wrong with it. If I went home today and I said, you know what, I would like to buy that field next to mine, there would be nothing wrong with me going to the neighbor and say, I'd sure like to buy that land from you. But then did Naboth say, yeah, I tell you what, I've been wanting to sell it for a long time. No, Naboth came back with a reply that, you know what, this thing has been in my family all through these years and I don't want to sell it. But there was, so far, Ahab has not crossed any fences. He has not torn down any boundaries yet, but he's coming real close. Ahab could have said, okay, I appreciate it. I understand, and I go back. Maybe I can change how I have my land and plant some herbs over here. But he didn't do it. There's one commandment, and I believe it's the very last commandment. Thou shalt not covet. You know what? That's an important fence that we need in our lives, because it almost never stays right there. With his, he went into a place that he started, I've got to have that land. I've got to have it. Well, there's no recourse with going to Naboth, because Naboth is just as sure about, I'm not going to sell this land. So with his, he moved into another area. It was, remember when his wife came to him, and now he's pouting, I'm not going to be able to get it. And she says, don't worry about it. I'm going to get it for you. I'll get it for you. Some of the other 10 commandments that were crossed to be able to get that, did they set up some false witnesses against Naboth? Yeah, they did. And that was one of the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And then had him killed. There was a commandment to have protected in each of these steps. But we can cross over the fences. We can tear them down and say, we don't want these boundaries in our lives. And what happens is we have a society like we have today to where we won't have these boundaries in our life. I thought about the same way with King David. He's the king. He can have whatever he wants. But you know what? He started crossing boundaries when he was on his roof and he saw Bathsheba. There was a place there where I've not done wrong now, but I need to turn myself away. But you know what? That same thing starts as he starts getting information. Yes, but this is somebody else's wife. You know what? He crossed areas. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Went on to thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. As people, and we'll watch this, and I want you to watch it, as society moves farther and farther away from the fences that God wanted for our lives, we're going to see upheavals because we're crossing over into somebody else's border that God had intended to be separate from ours. We're trying to figure out, how are we going to stop this school shootings? Because people are crossing over boundaries that they're not supposed to cross. You're supposed to have a respect for somebody else's life that you won't take it. And we've lost that respect. How did we do it? If we will start looking back a few years ago, and it's even happening right now, it's hard for me to imagine that while that is happening here in Oklahoma City, the same week we're tearing down the Ten Commandments, we're going to say, take them out, as if there's no connection between the two. There's a big connection between the two. The God of heaven that made us, and he sees the human nature that we have now, he says there needs to be some rules for you to be able to dwell with each other. And so he gave those commandments. And we will see those starting to change. And yet man does not see a relation between the two. He does. Have you heard anybody over the past 2 or 3 weeks say, I believe there's a connection between us getting rid of God's commands for our lives? I think there's some relation between that and now the younger society has no respect for authority. I think about that with this past year or two. You know, when I was a child, there was a fear in me of a police officer. He had this high of a level of respect from me that, I mean, all he had to do is come by and I'm ready to be at attention. But you know, that has been lost in our country today. Anybody that has authority is trying to be torn down, the authority that they have. There were laws that were put in place, boundaries for me to have in my life to respect those that are in authority. There's a verse I'd like to go to. It's in Proverbs. In fact, if someone will look it up, Proverbs 14 and 34 tells about where we are today. And then if somebody will look at another verse, Judges, the second chapter and the 10th verse. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Righteousness exalteth the nation. but sin is a reproach to any people. Okay, does someone have Judges 2 and 10?
And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel.
There arose another generation that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works that he had done for Israel. There are some of you in here old enough to remember back. I barely remember as it was shifting. There used to be in America what they call blue laws. They had just, it was just kind of an understanding in America. Sunday is a different day than any other day. And there was a respect for that day. I think about still today, it almost seems antique for Mardell's or Hobby Lobby or those kind of stores to say, we don't open on Sunday. We stay closed on Sunday. Because, you know, Sunday today, you can do almost any type of business that you could do on any other day. You can buy, you can sell, you can do all that. But there was a time just in our country that there were laws that were passed that says this can be done on Sunday, this cannot be done on Sunday. You had to be pretty careful about how you traveled on Sunday because there were so many stations that closed up for Sunday. But it says most of those blue laws have been repealed now. Those laws, and they were just, it wasn't something that the Bible was saying, okay, this store needs to be closed, but they went clear back to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and they used that as a guideline for what we wanted our society to do. There was, I remember reading stories, and some of you may have read them back, Little House on the Prairie, there, those, I believe it was the boy in the set of books that he had, where Sunday, the Sabbath day, for them, Sunday was a very important day. Yes. The older folks made them. When they got home from church, you didn't go outside playing. You were supposed to read your Bible. You were supposed to sit quiet all afternoon. And it was built from just a respect for what they saw the Bible to be. And you could read some of the little stories about this. You know, the boy's saying, I believe I could get out and do one sled ride and Dad won't find out. And, he probably wouldn't have found out if coming down the hill on the sled, if a pig hadn't run out across in front of him and he run underneath it and carried him down the hill with him. And here Dad finds out about it and now there's big trouble from it. And you read those stories and you think, wait a minute, today people would not have even had a bit of problem with that. But there was a respect for Sunday, God's day, that we set it aside. And you know, I wonder about, for even myself, have I gotten too much away from that?
Yes.
Would it? You know, there was a reason that the Lord asked for that way back there. He said, 6 days shalt thou labor. But he knew about a human. You need to have a day that you stop. Let your mind, let your body, everything stop and rest. And I find even as I'm saying this now, I find that I start easing back into, well, I've got something I need to do Sunday afternoon. I'm not going to miss service, but I need to do this work before. But I wonder if there wasn't a principle, a little fence, a little boundary that God himself realized, you know what, mankind, to be able to make it through this life and all the pressures that we have, he's putting this little guideline out here for us. Be careful and do some resting. You need to be able to do some resting. There is also a protection. Isaiah 26 and 1. If somebody would get that verse. Isaiah 26 and 1.
In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Is that right?
Okay. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. I was thinking about back, even you think about Jericho, how that was a city that was protected, had a wall around it to keep the enemy out. Yes. And they even realized, you know what, it's going to take God himself if we're going to be able to break through this wall. It was given as a protection. This says salvation was given for the same thing. Salvation has the ability to put a wall and a bulwark around my life to protect me from those things that can come in. I was thinking about a couple walls that have been built in the past. They were talking about the Iron Curtain. Yes. When it was put up, and it was to separate communism from the East, from the Western civilization. And for a long time, it was put out that the reason it's up is, and also the Berlin Wall was kind of like this. The reason we've got this up is because our people in communism are having it so wonderful, and we don't want to get them overloaded with other people wanting to come in. Well, you know what? It was really just the opposite. In fact, you never saw anybody trying to jump the fence to go over into communism. It was that this was so bad that you would see them trying to escape to come to something better. Here, it says salvation will God appoint for bulwarks. To be able to give us a protection of the things that we have, the guidelines that God has put in our life, it's making me realize more and more the value of the Ten Commandments when they were given years and years ago, and yet they still today have the same value for a society as they had back then. I can remember when I was in the early grades of school, there was prayer in the school. There was the principal would come on in the morning over the sound system, and they would have prayer before the school started for the day. There was a respect for God. Then the day came when that was thrown down. They said we need to have a separation of church and state. You know, we need to realize this thing is going to crash unless we tie the two back together. And it's not just about my church. It's about what does the Word of God have to say. Until we bring those back together again, things are going to keep falling apart. God's law is what I need to have in my life to build the fences, to keep the enemy out. And I was thinking, when you're traveling, you will come to places where it says, you want to see some good scenery? Pull out. And usually you'll go up to a parking place, and then you can go out to there, and it's just like a panorama of the countryside. Usually beautiful look out there. But a lot of times it's up high, and there's a protective fence that's put there. Want to let you get real close to be able to look, but don't cross that fence because it's danger on the other side. Well, just in the last few days with the Ten Commandments being taken down, there was a little picture posted, and I had Cheryl to make a copy of it for me. Because it showed a young man coming up to the fence. It looked like a board fence there. And it said on it, God's commands. And he says, I'm tired of being held in like by these restrictions. I'm jumping this fence. And there happened to be another man there saying, wait, stop. That's not a fence. That's a boundary. There's a drop-off right on the other side. And as the young man goes over, jump the commands that God has given, there's a big price tag to be paid. And in America today, we're going to see that price tag being paid. It's going to be called up. When we say we will not have this man to reign over us, the fences that were intended to separate and help me to know, as just like my property lines that tell me, Dan, when you bought this land, here's your legal description. You can build up to this half of a foot, but don't go anymore. That's somebody else's area. And you know, now we cross over. Our life does not mean much to people, to young people. And you start looking back, how could that be? How is it that people can lose a respect for life? You know what? When you're not taught over and over, God has some parameters for our lives, then you just start building your own fences. I was reading this one from that last school shooting. What was his parameters? He started looking at it. He said, you know, I have learned that the only way to really get attention, for people to take notice of who you are, is lives need to be taken. He said, then the world takes notice of your name. And he said, and I also noticed that the more blood that flows, the more your name is noticed. Well, you may remember that because of that, as they started noticing what he was, after he had killed the people and killed himself, they pulled up his file and started reading what he had been writing. And even the police officer would say, I don't want to mention his name of who he is, because that's the whole reason for him having done this, was I want my minute of fame. I'm gone, they're gone, but it doesn't matter. Here's what my goals were. And to me, that all seems like it's way out there. But I want to tell you something. It's starting to crowd closer and closer. America cannot figure it out. We're not able to tell, why is this happening? It's connected to something. There was a while back when they had the shooting in the East and killed the little school children. They checked back in his files and they found out he was addicted to video games. And some of the video games were almost identical to what he did. It was killing other children or things, and you could make points by doing it. Well, you know what? There were people that said, we need to put a restriction on those kind of games that allow people to kill, because it can cause something to happen inside of you. And there was a big uproar. No way. That is not what did it. It was the assault rifle that did it. We need to ban the assault rifle. I look at all these things. These are signs of the times. When we will go back and realize, you know what, this thing is connected to God's law being overridden. And it may be a different level that I would do it in my life, but it'll have the same effect. As I start saying, yes, it's true, there were some boundaries that God intended for my life, but I will not have them. I'm going to shift them over a little bit. I'll find I'm moving over on some territory that God didn't intend for me to be on. But I'd like for us to close on a chapter, a big chapter in the Bible, that is all the way through this chapter. It tells us about God's law. Can you tell me what chapter that is? Anybody know? If we're looking in Psalms, there's a chapter in it. We won't read all of that chapter because it's pretty big. But, okay. Psalms 119, and it has 176 verses in it. Sometime, I'd like for you to just take some time and read through this, Psalms 119. I'd like to give out just a few verses now, and then you pick it up from there. Because these are these writers taking a look at the law of God. And it starts, let's look at Psalms 119 and 1 through 7. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Boy, it'd be pretty nice if America said, okay, this is going to be our guideline now. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And it goes on down in the 9th verse, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart, 10th verse, have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I'd like to take the word of God and build fences in my life with it. 11th verse, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. There are other places. If someone will look over in the 105th verse of Psalms 119, if somebody else will get the 89th to the 91st verse of Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 105.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thy word. The same word that other people will look at and says, I will not have this man to reign over me. This one looks at it and says, your word is a lamp. It gives me direction. It helps me to see the way that I'm going and the way that I should go. It's also a light under my path. Okay, in the 89 to 91, if someone will read that. Psalms 119 and 89.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Thou continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is to all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. 92nd verse says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my afflictions. This whole chapter goes through giving us the value of the law of the Lord to these writers. There is Psalms 119 and 33 through 38.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear.
Okay, in that 35th verse it says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. He's not saying, okay, with a stick, just beat me because I don't normally want to go that way anyhow. But I was thinking about what Brother Marty has said in the past, that his prayer to the Lord is, Lord, I want you to lead me by desire.
Yes.
Help it to be, this is what I want for my life. Because it'll never work for any of us if it's just, this is the way because somebody is trying to force it on me. But to be able to, Lord, this is my desire, is to please you with my life. I want to make heaven my home, and I ask you to lead me by desire. And that desire was in the man in the first chapter of Psalms. I like to go to that chapter because that man was led by desire. Can anybody say that verse by heart? Psalms 1 and 1. The only reason I can is because I keep on saying it to you. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Nor sitteth. Okay. So we could stop right there and say, boy, he's cut a lot of things out of his life. But it didn't stop there. In fact, the next verse adds, but he switched something else in his life. So what did he replace it with?
His delight
is in the law of the Lord. And on Sunday mornings, he tries to think about it a little bit. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Nonstop. Because, folks, there's something running through our mind all the time. And it's made me realize, folks, I got to get control of my mind. Because I look at America today, they got something running through their mind. It's kind of like it was in Noah's day. It says there were only thoughts were on evil continually. It just continued to be what they thought about. But this 119th Psalm is these writers saying, I love the law of the Lord. I want to build those things into my life. They have value in it. I'd like to close with a song. Because by doing that, there is a verse somewhere that says, by doing it, there is great reward. There is great reward for us by letting the law of the Lord be the thing that puts fences around my life.
Yes.
There is a song, number 196. I'd like to sing it as we close. It says, how safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor is the promise of God's written word to keep him by night and by day. How firm a foundation upon which he builds. You remember we read about there was a man that he built his house on the sand. Storms came to him and it was destroyed. There was also a man built on the rock. How firm a foundation upon which he builds. It's a structure to glorify God. How wondrous the power of the Savior that shields from all the vile tempter's dark flood. Then in the third verse, a wall of salvation upon every side. Over the past few years, people that were inside that wall with its protection said, we will not have this around us. It's not a wall of protection, it's confining me, kind of like that chicken at Pacoima. I've been inside this little pen, there's not a blade of grass left. I see outside. Remember Moses said he saw what could be had, but he made a choice. He chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the righteous than to have the pleasures of sin for a season. He was able to put it all in perspective. Yes, the lights are glittering out here, but it's going to be short-lived. This one is a wall of salvation upon every side. Strong bulwarks presents to the foe. And in every conflict, though sorely he's tried, faith's shield will ward off every blow. That wicked one toucheth him not. When we have allowed God to build into our life parameters, fences, boundaries for me to live in, and some of those, 6 of the 10, were in how I deal with each other in society. 4 of those were about how I deal with God and the respect I have for him. I think there's something to that. I think he saw that my contact with my fellow man, there's going to be a whole lot of it, and I need to have some guidelines. There are people that say it doesn't matter to God what you do. He spent a whole lot of time through the Bible of giving instructions to the children of Israel. You remember how much detail he gave to them? If this is happening, you do this. If this is happening. And today, what he would like for us to have is what builds the fences in my life is the Holy Spirit. That I don't have to see something written down in verse, but there can be a voice telling me this direction that you're starting to go will cause you problems on doubt in the future. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I am so thankful for the plan of salvation. It's a wall, it's a bulwark, it's a protection for my soul. It will cause me to not have the same end that chicken did there in Pacoima. I am free today, but the enemy is all around me and I'm gone tomorrow. We can safely make it to the end of the Zion prayers.